from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is.
I was going to sing a little Ray Price, but I'm going to skip that for tonight. But it's coming. Are y'all ready for that? Never in your life have you heard me do country. But you're going to hear it. When the evening sun goes down, in his presence I can be found. Oh, the God life, it's a good life, and it's my life. We'll sing the rest of the song later. We're going to get a whole lot of songs born again. And if you can get Ray Price born again, hey, you can get them all. I was praying about tonight's message, thinking of something different, and as the Lord has a habit of doing, he does not really get impressed by what I'm thinking about doing or what I'm feeling, and thus it's him leading me. And after spending a time praying in the Spirit, the Lord took me to John chapter 9, and at which I did what I sometimes do in my ignorance. I explained to him that I had taught this before, and he said, but you didn't see it. And so we're going back to John chapter 9 tonight, and we're looking at the parable of healing. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, the Lord has just come from a situation in which religious people have attempted to stone him. He is not angry. He is not hurt and offended. He is simply continuing on his way. We've got to develop a lifestyle that we don't get hurt every time somebody doesn't do things our way. We've got to get to a point where we're not hurt and offended because people are trying to kill us or stone us to death. We can't even get bent out of shape because other people's religion is in conflict with ours. I said to someone, and I've been trying to get up the guts to put it on Facebook, how can you call it a religion of peace when one of its fundamental doctrines is to kill anybody who doesn't act like us? But no matter what came or what went, our Lord was on a mission to represent the Father, to do the Father's will, to bring about restoration of that which had been stolen. His attention is caught by a man in need, one who has been denied the image of God. As many times as I've been through this, I never saw that. And the Lord said to me, this man had been denied the image of God. God said, let us make man in our likeness, in our image. God is not blind. Therefore, those made in his image should not be blind. And as the Lord was saying that to me, it began to go off in me. Those with cancer, those with polio, those with whatever disease or infraction, deaf, dumb, whatever. I noticed when Jesus met someone deaf or dumb or whatever, he broke it. When he met someone dead, why? We weren't created to be less than superior. Now, that's something that's got to get inside you, so say it with me. I was not created, to be less than perfect. I was created in his image to represent him in his fullness. His attention is caught by a man, one who had been denied the image of God. This man was owed sight. Why? Because not having sight denied God's purpose for his life. Oh, church, we have been so behind the ball in so much of Christianity. They're running around trying to get healed, get delivered, get this, get that, when that's not the problem. There's something in your life that's lying against God's will for your life. It's not God's will for any believer to be broke. It's not his will for you to stay between blessings. It's not God's will for you to be sick, bound, disabled, whatever. Amen. He was blind to the world around him, unable to see the beauty God had made for him to enjoy. Our Lord, the Master Teacher, takes the opportunity to again define his purpose by reversing the curse and redeeming that which was lost. He is reversing the curse and redeeming that which was lost. What was lost? Sight was lost to this man. His ability to reflect the creation of God was missing. When you see a beautiful statue that someone created and it has been damaged, an arm has been broken off, a piece of it's missing, it doesn't reflect what that artist intended. I want you to start looking at yourself in the mirror and asking, am I reflecting what God intended? Because he intended for me to be well, to be whole, to see, to hear, to speak, to reflect his creation. God did not create man flawed man. Through unbelief, through disobedience. Our Lord, the Master Teacher, takes the opportunity to again define his purpose by reversing the curse and redeeming that which was lost. It's a teaching moment. Now, I've seen this as a healing miracle, but I had not stopped to see it as a teaching moment, that God wants us to recognize anything that isn't like God made it to be is denying his will. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, his will is for everyone to be healed. Therefore, we've got to tell sickness, you don't belong in me. I wasn't created to be sick. I was created to be whole. You don't belong in me. I'm not having you. Now get out. Poverty, I was made to rule the earth. I was not made to be ruled by the earth. Lack, get out of my life. And tell yourself, from this day forward, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Amen. Well, Pastor, that's just foolishness. Well, when I was taught by God to begin saying that, we were 13 months behind in pay. We had lost our house. I'd lost my collection of Cadillacs. I'd lost my collection of jewelry. I'd lost my gun collection. We were living in a borrowed house because we couldn't afford to pay rent, and we had to, on a regular basis, believe God for groceries and gas to get to church. And I thought, if I have to give it all up for the ministry, then I have to give it all up. And when you have the Lord speak to you and say, who asked you to? and realize that God didn't ask me to give it up. I had been deceived by stupid religiosity, giving it all up for the ministry. And when I laid in the floor and cried out to God, and he said, begin to pray this. Father God, I thank you that you do exceeding abundant above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend. Within 1 month, I deposited $70,000 in our checking account. That's deposit. That's not deposit in the account. And we bought a new house. We bought new cars. We began to move up. One day we're driving borrowed cars and they're breaking down and I'm riding a bicycle because we're down to peddling. But all it takes is just that small adjustment to go, wait a minute, this is not God's will for my life. He never said, I promise you lack. He said, you'll eat the good of the land. Yes. McDonald's is not the good of the land. Amen. For the son of, but you may have to eat McDonald's while your blessing is coming in. If you do, give thanks for it and say, this is not God's will for my life. I'm moving on up. Amen. The Son of Man has come. He says, this is part of my job description, to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what was he doing in this instance? He sought out a person who had lost an element of God in their life, who had fallen beneath God's created purpose for them, and he redeems it. Not only does he redeem it, but he does it in front of his disciples so they can see the will of the Father, and this is not consistent. That which God created had been separated from him. Not only just in this one blind man, but all of creation that God had created had been separated from him through man's unbelief and not willing to be obedient to the word. And then he says, verse 10b of John 10, I've come into the earth that they who come to me may have life on the God level and have the God life in abundance. Now, I know you're going to say to me, Pastor, John 10:10 says, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How did you get this translated? Because if you look at the preceding verses, he was talking about what wasn't his will and that what was his will. And so in verse 10, if you take the verses previous, I've come to earth that they who come to me, because he said, they hear my voice, they follow me. So verse 10 is built on the previous verses. He's talking to a select group of people, those who hear his voice, who come through him. He said, I am the door, and you can't come any other way but by me. So this verse literally says then, when you combine it in context, I've come into earth that they who come to me may have life on the God level and have the God life in abundance. That's what he's talking about in 2 Peter 1:4. We have these exceeding great and precious promises that by activating these promises in our life, we might become a partaker of the divine nature, ruling and reigning in earth as kings and priests unto God. Yeah. Life full and free is the will of God. You need to say that to yourself. Life full and free is the will of God for me. Blind, physically or spiritually, is not the will of the Father. So in this situation, the Lord is addressing physical blindness in this one man to expose spiritual blindness in his disciples and in us. Because when we look at this, not just as one of the miracles of Christ, but as it was a teaching moment when God was showing, this is not my will. This doesn't represent my creation. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And sometimes you need to whip out your checkbook, turn to the check register and go, this is not God's will for my life. I will never again make an entry in red. From now on, I'm in the black and I'm going to stay in the black. And it's never truer than in your checkbook that black is beautiful. Since our Lord came to a physical world, he sees a physical defect to reveal a spiritual truth and a revelation of his purpose. This is what I'm here for. This is my purpose, to correct what don't look like God. What is it first to seek ye first the kingdom of God? To make sure that everything in your sphere of influence looks the way God created it to look. Saved, healed, blessed, prospered. This healing can be seen as an illustrated lesson. This blind man is not the will of the Father. I came to do the will of the Father. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. An element of God's nature was lost for this man. I've come to save it, to restore it, and in so doing, represent the Father. I've come to do thy will, O Lord. This is not the Father's will. I've got to change it. He is teaching us a lesson through teaching his disciples. We're here auditing a class. Jesus Christ University is in session, and he's teaching the first class of students. This doesn't represent my Father. Therefore, it's my job to change this so it represents my Father. Start thinking about that. We're not trying to get people healed. We're correcting a flaw that misrepresents God. We're not trying to get people prospered. We're correcting a flaw that does not represent God. Hebrews 10:9. Then he said, "Behold, take notice, I have come to do your will, O Lord." Why did Jesus come to earth? Well, he came to die. You miss a mountain of truth. You know, just after we used to sing, you know, that he came to die. No, he was not born to die. He was born to represent the Father so we can see what the life God called us to looks like. What is the life God called us to look like? Walking on the water, quieting the storm, raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out the devil, kicking over the tables in the temple because they're misrepresenting God's house. Page 2. God created a perfect world, free from defect. Man was placed as under ruler in the earth. He was made to reflect or mirror God's will in the earth. God said to Adam, "Rule over it." What does it mean to rule over creation? I get so angry when I hear some of these religious idiots on the radio saying, God created Adam to be a gardener and put him in there to plow and to till the soil. No. God showed him, here's how you plant a tree. Tree B. And God said, I planted a garden east of Eden. I put Adam in it and said to Adam, now make the whole world look like this. Do you know why we have deserts? Adam failed to represent God. Do you know why we have storms? Adam failed to represent God. Do you know why your relatives die? Adam failed to represent God. Well, Pastor, why do you keep nailing poor old Adam? Because I want you to realize it's up to me to represent God in my world. And if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, then I'm trying to make my piece of the world look like... Blindness becomes a teaching moment. By reversing the curse and redeeming that essence of God that was lost, he teaches disciples, this is how you walk, even as I also walked. Reverse the curse. Redeem the lost. Set the captives free. Bring a representation of God back into the earth, just like he said, I am representing the Father. And his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? They recognized that sin was at the root of anything that didn't represent God. But they're asking a religious attitude question. Whose fault is it? You see, we're not about assessing fault or blame. God didn't call you to judge, to assess fault, to assess blame. He called you to fix it. If I ever call out a repairman to work on my refrigerator, my stove, my air conditioning, whatever, and they go, well, first, I want to know who broke it. I'm going to get me another repairman. Do you understand, church?
Yeah.
It ain't none of your business who broke it. It ain't even your business how it got broke. Your business is to fix it. Now, we need to start looking at this, Brother Price, and see. Jesus is teaching us we should be about the Master's business. I came to do thy will, O Lord. What is the Father's will? Fix it. There's blindness. Fix it. It misrepresents God. God didn't create it to be that way. Now fix it. Religion seeks to blame. Restoration seeks to reclaim, restore, redeem. Regardless of the channel it came through, all wrong has its root in sin and unbelief. So I don't need to know, Derek, who's responsible.
Right.
Derek, how'd this happen? No. How do we fix it? Good. Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Church. Brother Scott, you've been in the ministry a few years, you know this. This verse has spawned more ungodliness in the body of Christ than any other verse close by. This verse has brought heresy into the church. This verse has caused people to suffer needlessly. Your sickness is bringing glory to God. No, he never said that. He said, your religious question, whose fault is it, don't matter. It's not his fault. It's not his Father's fault. And so we go back to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And a man who has turned his stumbling blocks into stepping stones and risen up to rulership says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. This was all part of a purpose for my nation through my daddy and the 12 rulers that would come down through this. It was God's purpose to use me. You meant it for evil. You sold me into slavery. You told my daddy I was dead. I went through hell because of you, but me going through hell was not God's will. You meant it for evil. Don't ever lie to anybody and say, God's getting glory out of you suffering through this. You bearing up under this pain is giving glory to God because everybody around you is seeing how you're just dealing with dying. God didn't create. I was not born to die. I wasn't born to lose. Now we're back to Ray Price. How did we get back to him? No. Church. He was not sick because God wanted him sick so he could heal him. Because if that lie gets into your spirit, then you'll think, well, God put this on me so he could look good helping me. Hun, if you see me walk up and bust somebody right in the nose and then call for the camera so they can see me handing me a Kleenex, it's like those sick idiots that start a fire so they can rush in. You remember the guy, what was it, last year, year before last, that set a fire, and his plan was he was going to wait until the fire got going good. He was going to rush in and save the family so he'd be a hero to the girl he was trying to get in good with. But the fire spread so fast he killed the family. Now, she's probably not going to want to go out Friday night. But if we can understand how sick that is, wait a minute, you set fire to my house so you could be seen as a hero rescuing my family, then I'd want to be with you because my hero, our God, you call that sick looking at it in the earth. How can anybody bring that to church and say,
wow.
God?
Wow. That's good.
God don't run around breaking your leg so he can heal it in front of everybody and go, ta-da. Hun, you break my leg, you ain't getting near me. I ain't getting in your prayer line, no, sir. You laid hands on me once, it ain't going to happen again. But here's the story revealed. Joseph says, you meant it for evil. God let you do it so he could show himself mightier than your plan. Mom didn't blow it. Dad didn't blow it. The son didn't blow it. Adam blew it. And this is the fallout from Adam's refusal to believe God. Even though a thing is birthed of evil, it does not have to stay that way. The disciples are getting a lot of lessons here, and it's going to be a few months before they understand it. But still, today, 2,000 years later, our eyes can be open to see this truth. Anything that doesn't represent God represents the devil. Therefore, whatever's happening to us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, we've got to go, does this represent God's handiwork or the devil's? If it's the devil's handiwork, let's curse it, let's break it, let's get it out. And don't ever be sick enough to go, well, God wrecked my new car so he'd teach me not to be in pride. Hon, God don't have to wreck your car to teach you something. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 1, 1 John 3, 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Don't ever attribute any of the devil's work to God. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So since he destroyed blindness in this man, it must have been a work of the devil. A blindness that denied the creative purity of God. The carnal mind wants to assess blame. The carnal mind wants to know, why did this happen? More than that, it wants to know, why did it happen to me? Like I should be somehow exempt from bad things happening. The recreated, renewed mind wants to reveal God. Not why did this happen to me? What can I do about it to reflect God's purpose? We must work the work, Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now he says, read the verse, while I am in the world, so he's defining a time frame. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So this darkness that's coming must be a time when he's not in the world. Now, it can't be a time when he's in heaven, because when he's in heaven, he will have won the battle and be God of the earth again. So when would be a time of darkness when no man could work? When his body is removed from the earth, darkness would cover the whole earth, and gross darkness. When nobody could work, Edison was not supplying electricity. There was gross darkness on the face of the earth, and nobody could work. And he said, the day is coming where everyone will be blind for a season and nobody can do anything. And the reason they can't is God will not be represented in the earth during that time. Oh, church. Do you see how big he's using this blindness of this moment as a teaching opportunity? Guys, while the Spirit's moving, fix it. Heal it, deliver it, set it free, resurrect it. But understand this. The blindness that's on this one man soon will be on the whole earth, and you won't be able to do anything. And it will be another teaching moment to teach you that it is in me, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. If I'm not in the earth, ain't nothing going to... Oh, do you get it, church? I read this verse for years and never saw what he was teaching. He says, this boy just learned something about blindness. It ain't good. If you ask him now that he can see, do you want to be blind again? Even to give glory to God, he's going to go, let me think. Ain't no way, Jack. And he said, this blindness is going to be reflected in the greater level. There will be a period of time when gross darkness will cover the earth and nobody can work. And the reason they can't is God will not be represented in the earth during that time. And it's a taste. It's a taste of what godlessness is like. Ain't nobody able to do nothing, because if I'm not in it, it don't get done. I am the light of the world. I am the only reflection. When he said, I am the light of the world, he is saying, I am the only reflection of God in the earth at this moment. The church isn't. The priesthood isn't. The rabbis, the scribes, the Pharisees, they're not. I am the only representation of God in the earth. And in a few months from now, you're going to get a chance to see what the earth is like without God. Because there will be no God in the earth until I'm raised from the dead. Oh, church, there is so much in this teaching moment that we can read past it and not. John began to harvest all the rich treasures that are in this one illustration of our Lord and Redeemer. Now you understand what it said after the resurrection. The disciples said, did not his words burn within us? Now that we know what's going on, those words have a different meaning. You as a believer, when you read the New Testament, those words should have a different meaning to you. It's not a story. It's not words on a page. It's a revelation of the nature and character of God in everything. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as the day. For this purpose came I into the earth, to do the will of the Father. I'm doing the will of the Father right now. And I want you to see how important it is to do the will of the Father, because if the will of the Father can't be done, the earth will be darker than this man's blindness. These two verses must be absorbed together. Yes, night is coming when I am dead and in the grave. Gross darkness will come. No good work will be done till Pentecost. But while my light is here, let's shed some of it on this man's darkened sight and on your darkened understanding. Because in this teaching moment, the blind man is getting his sight, but the disciples are getting a new sight of truth they haven't yet beheld. 9:6. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. I shared with you previously as we were talking about this, we were in the old building, y'all remember, on 35, and I shared this message with you. The DNA of God interacts with the soil. The base elements of creation are of earth, and creative power is released. And it's another teaching moment. How does he break the blindness? He takes an element of God, God's DNA, and he mixes it with creation, fallen creation. And when God and fallen creation come together, a healing trend. Wow. What is he saying to them? And I will be in you, working through you. When the DNA of God comes on you, and when the day of Pentecost has fully come, you will be endued with power from on high. This is a teaching moment. What you're seeing right now, earth and God mixed, brings the miraculous. And when you, earth, are mixed with God, the Holy Spirit, you will become supernatural to change. Yes. And you will become a healing source. Fallen creation mixed with the DNA of God brings the miraculous presence of God. It's happening now in this blindness, and after Pentecost, it's going to happen in you. Oh, church. The created mixes with the Creator, the Word, and the supernatural results. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Go wash in the pool of sent. The work of sin and unbelief were washed away. Once cleansed of sin's bondage, he could clearly see. Just like when you and I are cleansed of Satan's darkness, our eyes are open to see. The prophet is standing there, and Gehazi says, there's more of them than there are of us. And the prophet says, no, there's more with us than there are with them. God opened his... Now, what happens when you put that revelation, the prophet saying, God opened his eyes that he can see what's really here. Let him see into the spirit what's really at work. How do we bring that down to this healing the blind man and telling his disciples, you're seeing me at work now. A day is coming where nothing will happen because I won't be in the earth. But then there's a day coming where I will be in you and you will be in me. And together we can set the captives free. Church, this word is for you today. Because he went where he was sent, the miraculous takes place. Ethel, when you go where he says go, the Lord speaks to you and says, I want you to go to the grocery store. God's not interested in your cupboards being bare at that moment, although he is. He wants you at HEB because he's got a divine appointment for you. And when the created mixes with the Creator, the supernatural will come. Amen. That's what he's teaching his disciples here. When the essence of God meets fallen earth, the fallen earth becomes a vehicle for the miraculous. Just like after the Holy Spirit comes to you, you become a vehicle for the miraculous because God is mixed with your clay pot, and now we have the essence of God at work. He obeyed the saying or the command of the Lord, and his submission brought him the reward of obedience. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. In this case, if you're willing and obedient, you get a miracle from God. Some of us aren't willing to be spat on. Some of us aren't willing to be mixed with God. Some of us aren't willing to go, we're like the soldier who said, wait a minute, we got cleaner rivers in my country than this. Why do I have to go to this Mississippi muddy river? I've got Lake Tahoe, and it's crystal clear down to 1,200 feet. I'll dunk in that any day if I've got a warm wetsuit because it's cold in there. But you see, it's not where he sends you. It's the fact that he sends you. Yes. Believe his word, perform his word, receive his reward. Go wash in the pool of sent. He went where he was sent, and he got the reward. Verse 11, they're questioning, I received my sight when I did what the master said do. Now that's paraphrased, but that's the essence of it. I received my sight, not when he put the clay on me, not when he said to me to go. I received my sight when I did what the master said do. You got to understand, this guy's going down to the pool. Tap, 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 splish. Oh, I'm there. And he washes in the pool, and he doesn't get his reward until the washing is done. And some of us are, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll. And God is saying, if you do this for me, I'll. What were the disciples being taught when he makes the clay, puts the spittle in the guy's eye sockets, and says, "Now go." Does he say, "Follow me, boys, usher him down too"? No, he said, "Continue on in your blindness, because it is obedience that will break the blindness." What is his disciples being taught? Guys, you're walking around spiritually blind right now. And I'm going to tell you what to do. And just as you see this guy receiving physical sight by doing what I tell him to do, the day's going to come and I'm going to say, "Go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high." What you don't know is that when you're tarrying, the blindness is going to fall off of you. And Peter, you're going to step out of the upper room, the room you went into, not even fully understanding who I am, recognizing my authority and power. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you're going to walk out, and you're going to preach to 3,000 people, and five of the seven gifts are going to be manifest in your message, because you're going to have the blindness fall off of you by having went to where you were sent. This is what I heard in my spirit. Scott, sometimes you hear something in your spirit and you just can't wait. I've got to preach this whole message before I can speak this out. For some of you under the setting of the sound of my voice, your miracle is still waiting for you at the place God told you to go. Now that place may be a physical place. It may be an emotional place. It may be a mental place. It may be a prayer place. It may be a study place. But God has given you a word to do something. And if you will allow yourself to be sent where he told you to go, your miracle is still waiting for you. Pastor, how do you know? Because the Lord said this to me: no gift or calling of the Lord can ever be taken back. The gifts and calling of the Lord are without repentance. If God told you, Drama Mama, if you'll go here, then all you got to do is say, "God, forgive me for not having gotten there sooner. But I'm going there because I know by going there, my obedience, my reward is still waiting for me, because you didn't take back." "Oh, well, you didn't go." "Well, King's X on that, you don't get it." No. If God ever told you, "This belongs to you. You can have this, this ministry, this, this." And there's things that God spoke to me in 1978 that I'm still holding on to and saying, "I know it's done." There are things that God has spoken to me in 1985. And this morning as I was walking around the back of the building, I was thanking him for something he promised me in 1985 that I haven't seen yet, but I know he hasn't taken it back. It's still out there for me to occupy. This was a teaching moment. Yes, it can be listed under the miracles of Christ. Yes, it can be listed under, the religious people say, stories of the Bible. But this is a revelation of the will and plan and purpose of God. It was a teaching moment when our Lord used a blind man, the work of Satan, the work of sin entering the earth. The Lord used that to reveal how God operates. Anything that don't represent God is out of his will. Therefore, because it doesn't represent his will, we as his representative in the ministry of reconciliation need to reconcile that so it does look the way God intended it. That's why Jesus didn't say, "Pray for the sick." He said, "Heal the sick." He didn't say, "Pray for those that are demon-possessed." He said, "Cast out the devil." God expects you to rule over everything that doesn't represent God the same way Jesus did. And then he tied the physical blindness of this man to the spiritual blindness of the earth and said, "Work while I'm here with you." Because the day will be coming when you can't work Night's coming on the earth. But it's just for a season. And in my resurrection, the darkness will be broken, and you'll be able to enter into the power that was just released here. But you got to remember, when I give you a sent order, get on with the went to where I sent, because your power is waiting there. Your reward is waiting there. Your miracle is waiting there. Why didn't he just heal him? Because he was teaching us in the school of the anointing how God operates. There was more to learn than blind is bad and seeing is good. I trust tonight that you've received in this teaching moment, and I decree that what you learn tonight, Mary's going to grow inside you, it's going to get bigger, become more powerful, because you're going to start going, wait a minute, if there was that much in this healing miracle, what was in the other healing miracles? Too many Christians for too long have been living on the surface of the Word and not digging down. God doesn't need more surface-dwelling Christians. He needs people who will dig down into the deep revelation and go, God, there's something here that you want me to know that will change my life to more be like you if I'll just dig into this. Your New Testament, you can come to it. I don't know how many times we've come to this story. I'd say we've probably touched on this story at least 4 or 5 times in the last 30 years. And yet, here we come back to it tonight, and the Lord says, let me open this story up in another level. Let me pull back another layer of revelation and show you what's here. He began by telling me, this is a teaching moment, not just a healing moment. Why? He was directing me to what I needed to see in it, because if all I could see was a miracle, I would miss a message. Don't miss your message by only focusing on the miracle. Father, I've delivered your word to your people this night. Your people are endued with power from on high. They will represent you. They will display your works. They will do the works of the Father. Father, I thank you that you rise up to live big in them, and the miraculous and the supernatural becomes their normal way of life. The people of House of the Lord Fellowship Church are blessed of you. They walk in health, they walk in wealth, they walk in wisdom, they walk in power. They do exploits in the name of the Lord and set the captives free. And you rise up daily to live big in them, through them, and because of them. And the people said, amen. You are blessed. Go with God.